Good morning. It is great to see everyone this morning. I would invite you to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35. I've been going through and looking at a series of sermons on basic things and basic principles, getting back to specifically here these past few weeks of the things that we do in a worship service. Today we look at giving, and I know you probably think, well, here comes the preacher to talk about giving. Listen, this is an act of worship that we have a command to do. It was read this morning from 1 Corinthians 16 there in verses 1 and 2, and Paul wrote them to tell them, as I commanded the church at Macedonia, I command you also. These are instructions and commandments that we are given. We start in the Old Testament to realize and understand that a lot of times we think about the Old Testament specifically, and we look at perhaps just tithing, and that they had a command that they were to tithe, and that meant that they gave 10%. Well, it meant that they gave that percentage of everything that they had. And it meant that even down to basic things that we might not be mindful of today, but things like spices, even they had to make sure that they set aside everything as they had been prospered. Here in Exodus 35, I want you to notice, though, we think about that free will offering that we give today. They were commanded in the same way here, beginning in verse number 5 of Exodus chapter 35. Take from among you an offering to the Lord, whoever is of a willing heart. Let him bring it as an offering to the Lord, gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, ram skin dyed red, badger skins and acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And you can actually go back to other places like Exodus chapter 25, that they would do the same thing. Verse 2 there, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart. You shall take my offering. Now, in Exodus chapter 36, I want you to notice something. This is, Moses has spoken to the children in chapter 35 and said, if you're willing to give these things, and he gave that list just as we read. Notice what happens here in chapter 36, beginning in verse 2. Then Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every gifted artisan in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred to come and do the work. And they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. So they continued bringing to him free will offerings every morning. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing, and they spoke to Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do. So Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. And the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done, indeed too much. There's only a couple of you here. You'd be angry if they gave too much? Or would you take it as a challenge? Here's the thing. I want you to notice, the children of Israel, this was free will. This was beyond any command that they had. This was free will to give and to bring and for the work of the Lord. I want you to think about this. I'm very thankful for the eldership that we have. And I'm thankful that we have men who are willing to take on new works, and they certainly bless and help out guys like me. You've done so for a lot longer than just the few years that I've been here with you. You helped me get through school. And I can tell you now, that conversation the night that I came here, it's a Sunday evening, and I got to speak, first time that I had ever been here, first time that I had met any of you, and I preached that evening, and I sat down with the eldership, and I'd sent a letter, you knew why I was here, that I was going to be leaving Lowe's, that I was going to go to preaching school, and that I was going to devote my life to preaching the Word of God. I sat in the nursery with the three elders, and they'd looked over my letter, and I had sent them, you know, what my cost of living and things that I needed were, and they all three looked at me and they said, "You haven't asked for enough. What happens if you get a flat tire and it costs you," at that point in time, I believe it was $12 to fix a flat tire. "How are you going to do that?" I shook my head. I said, "I don't know. I guess we'll figure it out. God will provide." And they said, "Well, He does do that. But we're going to give you more than what you are asking for because we don't want you to be so tight on funds that you can't breathe." I think about that when it comes to the Lord's work here. Not just in the congregation here, but universally. I want you to think about these words that we just read in Exodus 36. That they actually, the artisans, the men who were working and crafting the tabernacle of the Lord, that they were making everything from the table of showbread to candlesticks to the ephod for the priest. And they said, "We've got too much stuff." The elders have stood before this congregation before and they've talked about all the things that they are involved in or that we are involved in as a congregation. All these works that we do and all these works that we get to be a part of and all the things that we get to see this money go toward. And the thing that time and time again, if you just watch and pay attention, as soon as they start to talk about those things and the needs, everybody in the congregation steps up. Those things happen and take place because what happens first and foremost, look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, is this. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I want you to think about those offerings that we give and the things that we do and why we do them, to give back. But it's because what we first realized, the same thing that I believe the children of Israel realized as well there in Exodus 35 and 36, was that they've been asked to give a free will above and beyond everything that they give already. They realize and understand just how much truly God has blessed them. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, Paul writes, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship and the ministering to the saints. Not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God." Do you see there in verse number 5? They first gave themselves. You see, that as Christians is what we first do. We discussed and talked this morning in our Bible class, John chapter 3, thinking about Nicodemus there coming to Jesus by night. Jesus tells him what he personally had to do. Same thing that we do today to become a child of God. But that expectation that God has of us is to be all in. To make sure that we are a child of His, that we have bought in, that we know who He is, we believe in Him, that we understand what Jesus did in going to the cross on our behalf. That perfect sacrifice that was made, that when we truly understand what God has done for us, man, we can truly give ourselves to the Lord. They first gave themselves to the Lord. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And you think about first giving ourselves to the Lord and what that means. Here in Proverbs chapter 3, notice what the Proverbs writer has to say in verse number 9. He says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." Do you notice there? Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. The first fruits. Honor Him. We can think back to places where, like Joshua chapter 6 and 7, where you see the children of Israel go in and take over Jericho. And then we see the sin of Achan. Jericho was the first fruits of the promised land, and it was to be devoted fully and completely to God. And you see Achan, who can't resist gold and silver, Babylonian garment, and everything that he takes and hides in his tent. He wasn't going to honor God. He chose not to honor God. You see, if we first give ourselves, and what we choose to do is to honor God in everything that we have. And this morning, I want to think about our giving and what we first choose to do. Look with me at 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. You think about David being that bloody king that God told him, because there's much blood on your hands, you're not going to build the temple for me. Instead, it will come from your son. We think about all that he had done and all that he had said and all the things. If I can get these pages to come apart. I think I said 2 Chronicles. It's 1st. Sorry. 1 Chronicles 29. But God had told David, you're not going to build the temple for me. It will be your son. So I want you to think about that. I want you to think about the times in our lives that perhaps things haven't gone exactly right. Perhaps things haven't gone exactly the way that we've planned. And what do we do? What's our reaction? Do we shut down, or do we figure out how I'm going to make this work to continue to glorify God? Here in 1 Chronicles 29, beginning in verse 1, furthermore, King David said to all the assembly, my son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. And the work is great, because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now for the house of my God, I have prepared with all my might gold for the things to be made of gold, silver for the things of silver, bronze for the things of bronze, iron for the things of iron, wood for the things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistening stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones, and marble slabs in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I prepared for the holy house, for my own special treasure of gold and silver, 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses, the gold for the things of gold and silver for the things of silver, and for all kinds of work to be done by the hands of craftsmen. Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? Then the leaders of the fathers' houses, leaders of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the officers over the king's work, offered willingly. They gave for the work of the house of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. And whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord into the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord. And King David also rejoiced greatly. You see there in verse 9, they rejoiced because they had offered willingly, with a loyal heart offered willingly. Notice to who? It was to God. It was to no one else. They didn't do this to be seen by anybody. David gave them a challenge. He said, look, this is what I've done. This is what I've prepared. I'm doing this. Notice in verse number 2. Now for the house of my God, I have prepared with all my might. Meaning, I am all in with this. This is from the heart that I'm giving. I have prepared. I have made a conscious decision to do these things and to give. And do you see the people as they follow that example? I think about those examples of those I have known my whole life. And it started in our house. My dad was always, you're going to set aside something to give. And we've tried to do the same thing in our own house, set aside something to give. And I can remember as a kid, you've heard me talk about Annie Jo before. I think everybody needs an Annie Jo. But Annie Jo, there would be 10 of us sitting in two pews, 10 kids, not 10 people, 10 kids. And she made sure every one of us had a quarter. And you may think, well, that's only 10 quarters, Corey. That's not a whole lot. And you're right, it's not. But every single week, she made sure that everybody had one. And we had already brought something of our own, but that wasn't good enough for her. She was going to help. She was going to make sure that you understood and knew how important it was to be able to give. It's those type of examples that you just can't pay those things back. I had a conversation with her when I first thought about going to preaching school, and she called my dad, and she said, there is a check in the mail that if he decides to go, you make sure that it helps to cover him. And so for 2 years, she'd written a check for $20,000. Corey to go to preaching school. Sorry, that one hit hard. Didn't know why. Didn't plan on that. But anyway, Annie Jo was one that she just wanted you to do what was right in the sight of God every time. She didn't care about being seen of people. She did so many things quietly behind the scenes that nobody ever got to know about. Annie Jo passed away. It's been several years now, I guess, but wasn't very long after I got out of school. But Annie Jo passed away, and I thought about it, and there were people that started telling stories, and Annie Jo didn't want a funeral. Okay? We had one anyway. She's dead. She doesn't know. So we had one anyway. And my aunt really troubled her. She said, she asked us not to do this. And we looked at her and we said, we're going to remember the example that she set. To me, that's what David does here. He's setting an example for others to follow after. And look at the people, the reaction that took place in verse 9. They rejoiced that they gave. They rejoiced that they were willing, that they had given themselves fully over to the Lord. David even rejoiced. And you think about the giving and the things that take place. I'm telling you, there's a guy in India that he rejoices every day. He sends pictures and he sends me text messages, and I love the brethren for their support, and I love what they do, and I can't thank them enough, and I'll never be able to repay that or to pay them back. Well, sure he will, because he's going to do the work of the Lord. He's going to do the work of the Lord. That says thank you. You see, that's what we see in these examples. Is they're giving back because they first, again, gave themselves. They're giving of their first fruits. Just as we are to give still today, we give ourselves. We give of our first fruits. We give according to how we have been blessed. Look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 16. We often say this about how we have been blessed by everything that God does for us. And amen, rightly so. We have been truly blessed by all that God has done. But God has an expectation of us because of those blessings that we receive from Him. Here in Deuteronomy 16, beginning in verse number 13, you shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days, when you have gathered from your threshing floor and from your winepress. You shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant and the Levite, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates. 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord chooses, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all your work of your hands, so that you surely rejoice. 3 times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which He chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which He has given you. Everybody going to be blessed equally? No. Some will have less, some will have more. But you know what? His expectation was, every man shall give, verse 17, as he is able. Why? Because if you back up, notice there, this is what God has done. The Lord, verse 15, that center part, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hands, so that you shall surely rejoice. You rejoice. Notice, because of your labor, because of how God has blessed you, you shall observe these things. You shall observe and take heart. Notice here, you'll rejoice in your feast, verse 14. And not just you by yourself, your son, your daughter, your manservant, your female servant, even the Levites, everyone around you, the fatherless, the widows. Everyone gets to share in this. Everyone gets to be partakers in this. Everyone gets to rejoice right along with us. Why? Because God has blessed us, and His expectation is that we rejoice and we thank Him for all that He has done, and we give as we're able. When we think about how we give, again, according to how we've been blessed, but look with me, if you would, at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. If I'm to rejoice, if that's the expectation that God has of me, that I can rejoice in the labor of my hands, that I can rejoice in everything that He has blessed me with, then I can rejoice when I give back. As I give back because of what He has blessed me with. Verse 6 here of 2 Corinthians 9 says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, He has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. Now may He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God, while through the proof of this ministry they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." We often think about what God did for us in sending Jesus, but notice here, I can sow bountifully, I can reap bountifully, I can be joyful and excited, I can be cheerful, I can purpose to give. Notice there, verse 7, "Give as we have purposed in our heart." We have chosen to give back to God because, notice the results, as we give back, He's the one who continues to bless. He's the one that continues to outpour all of these blessings to us. And it's not just us that get to take advantage of it. Notice here, Paul writes, all these others have so blessed, so thankful. And it leads to more being thankful to God. Because at the end of the day, here's the way it is. God is the one in verse 8 who has dispersed and given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. And He is the one who supplies everything that we need. Seed to the sower, bread for food, God supplies all of those things. He supplies the reason for us to rejoice. He supplies the reason for us to get excited and be happy. He supplies the reason for us to be able to share. He's the reason that others get to glorify Him. You understand? It's Him who is the reason. So you and I get to be the ones who benefit from it and who get to bless others. But that blessing truly comes from God every time. And we get to be those that are partakers in all of this. Not only the blessings that we ourselves enjoy, our families enjoy, but that every family enjoys. God is the one as the supplier. He's the one who has blessed us with everything that we have. And the purpose of all of that, to help others glorify Him, rejoice and be happy, rejoice and give back. We get to rejoice in those things. Look with me at Luke chapter 6, and I want you to think about this with you this morning. Luke chapter 6, one of my favorite verses in Scripture. Jesus here is speaking. Verse number 38, Jesus says this, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." You know, God would say in places like Malachi chapter 3, try to outgive me. I'll open the windows of heaven and I will pour out such blessings as you've never seen. Try to outgive me. Give and it will be given to you. Notice there how Jesus describes this giving, that it is good measure, pressed down, shaken together. I've probably told you this and given you this illustration before. When I was a kid, we had glass Coke bottles. Okay, so I know I'm old. It's okay. But we'd have glass bottles. We would go out in the garden. We'd limed that thing to death, and it was the most fertile soil you could find. And we would fill up those bottles. We would smack that top, and we would shake it, smack it, put more in. We would continue that process until we thought we couldn't get any more in there. And our grandpa would say, fill that up with water, and that'll show you every space that is still left for you to be able to fill up. So we'd put some water in there, and I'm telling you, we worked really hard so that there wasn't hardly any water that would ever appear in that bottle. We didn't want there to be anything left. Do you understand the measure that God gives back? With the measure that you give, wholehearted, everything that we have to glorify Him in everything that we do in this life. Do you understand the measure He gives back? God's always been and always will be all in with us. Because what He wants is the absolute best. You can't outgive Him. You can't do better than what He can do. Period. Notice how He gives. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. There's not an empty spot left. Because what we have done is given everything that we possibly can back to Him. You see, that's what God does. And He continues just to let that blessing flow. He continues to give, continues to do His very best for us. So we don't have any reason not to do our very best for Him. To continue to give back. Continue to do everything that we can. It's because we first gave ourselves. My life is going to be dedicated to God. It's going to be dedicated to doing everything for Him every single day. And when that dedication is seen and lived, not by you, but by Him, when He knows, according to my heart and the purpose of my life, lived for Him, what He does is continues to give good measure, shaken down, pressed down, shaken together so that you and I live for Him every day. And everyone else gets to rejoice and we get to rejoice. We talk about this being and it truly is, one of the greatest places on the face of this earth to get to live. Do you thank God for it every day? Or do we take it for granted? Get to be a child of His. Do we give thanks every day? Or do we take it for granted? When it comes to giving our life, does He get it all? Or is it just what we can give? I'll close with this. I want you to think about it. It's a holiday season. We have families getting together. Now, I love this time of year because we make the excuse to get together. And I'm glad we need to make those excuses to get together. Excuses to see one another and spend time together. So you come to my house. The table is spread with everything that is your favorite food. Everything that is your favorite. Your favorite, maybe it's steak, maybe it's ham, maybe it's turkey, maybe it's pizza. I don't know. It's your favorite sitting on that table. Favorite dessert. Your mouth is watering as you smell the smells and you can already taste it and you haven't even sat down yet. I have three dogs. Finn, Wally, and Oakley. And they come in first. And they ravage that table. They fall on everything. And I ask you to sit down. And we give thanks. Anybody eating? Why do I give God my leftovers? If it's not good enough for you to eat at that table, why do we expect Him to do that with our life? We got to give it all. Give Him our best. We should salivate every day to live for Him. We should salivate every day thinking about the opportunities we have to bless those around us because of how much He's blessed us. We get to live a life that is a godly life, that is a blessed life, that is a rich life. We've all been blessed differently, but we've all been blessed by God. All of us. All He wants is the absolute best. I have friends who say, I don't want to have any more money than what I have, and God knows exactly what I need, because if I had more, I would probably be given over to that. And there are others who, they do really good with it, and because of that, they continue to be blessed more and more, because all they want to do is give, give, give. Brethren, we should all have that desire every day to give God our best and to help everyone around us. Let us all give our life first and foremost to God. And then everything that we have, let us rejoice how He blesses us. Let us rejoice in opportunities to share. Let us rejoice because it is God, first and foremost, who gets the very best in everything that we have and all that we do. This morning, is that what He gets from you? Do you wake up rejoicing? Do you give those around you a reason to rejoice because you are a child of God and because how much you demonstrate that in your life, especially toward them? I think about our life. I ask you to think about yours. Is your life lived for God every day? Or do you need to do something more? Perhaps this morning you need to give your life and dedicate it to Him. Become a child of God. Be willing to listen to His Word. Believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Be willing to have that godly sorrow leading to repentance. Be willing to confess His name and submit to His will. Be buried with Him in baptism, where He washes away your sins and you rise to walk in newness of life, faithful unto death. Or perhaps this morning, as a child of God, you don't think about those reasons to rejoice and be thankful every day. And there are other things that have gotten in the way of that, and you need to make that right. This morning, if we can help you in any way, we'd ask you to come now as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.